Hi. So this video was recorded back in January, and at the time, I decided not to publish it because I really didn't want to put anything negative out into the world. There's too much negativity. However, after thinking about it, I decided it was okay for me to be upset and okay for me to vent my frustrations at Atari and Evercade like I do in this video. At the same time, I've gone back and done some further research that I have saved for the end of the video.
So what I want to show you today, Jeff, and I have a whole video about this is Evercade Alpha number two,
Show number two.
two. So I want to show you the Evercade, the Atari Arcade 1 and 2,
Yes.
and show you why, while I believe Atari Lynx 1 and 2 are great and amazing on the Alpha, and there's other collections that are great. This is weird
Okay.
because, and you'll see in the video why it's weird.
Let's take a look at it right now.
All right. I want to talk about the Atari Arcade 1 and Atari Arcade 2 for the Evercade. This is going to be on the Alpha. And while I love Lynx 1 and 2 on the Alpha, Atari Arcade games, on the other hand, don't necessarily translate that well, and I'm going to show you why. First of all, there's something interesting about Atari Arcade 2, and that is that Atari Arcade 2 actually only has two original Atari games on it. And one of those games was never released, and that's Maze Invaders. The other game is Fire Truck, which I used to love in the arcade. You can go find Fire Truck. There it is. There's Fire Truck. Fire Truck is a fine game. I love it. But Fire Truck in the arcade is two people play. They both have steering wheels. This version of Fire Truck is for one person. So technically, this is not Fire Truck. This is actually Smokey Joe. Smokey Joe is the one player version of Fire Truck. I'm not sure why they said it was Fire Truck. So Fire Truck literally is one of the first two-person cooperative games ever made, which it seems weird to me that no one at Atari knew that, or Evercade knew that there were two versions of this game. Now, this game is really difficult to play. It's always been difficult to play. It's one of the hardest games to play. But we'll try to do it. In the arcade, this is kind of funny because you're both one guy steering the front, one guy steering the back, and it's a crazy game to play. It's obviously a quarter stealer. There's no way to actually get to the fire or win or anything. It's just a weird, funny game where you're trying to control this hook and ladder fire truck. And again, the single player version is not called Fire Truck, it's called Smokey Joe, and that's what this version is. The other games on Atari Arcade 2 are as follows: Berserk, Frenzy, Lost Tomb, Minefield, Moon War, Rescue, Tasmania, Dark Planet, and Maze Invaders. Now, if those don't sound familiar to you as Atari games, they're not. This is all IP Atari acquired a couple years ago, so they could release Berserk on the Atari 2600 again. And they also got Frenzy, and I believe they're by Stern. But nowhere, I believe, on this does it describe that these are not actual original Atari arcade games, but in fact, they were. I want to say Stern? Yeah, it says, first, explore Atari's lesser-known arcade hits from the 70s and early 80s, including Fire Truck, an unreleased but fully complete prototype, Maze Invaders. Secondly, in 2023, a selection of classic games officially became part of Atari family, and this collection isn't part of celebration of those arcade hits. The most famous, Berserk, is undoubtedly associated with Atari thanks to its excellent Atari 2600 version. In more recent years, Atari released a recharged version of this classic for modern game systems. So, but I believe all of these, Berserk, Frenzy, Tasmania, Lost Tomb, Moon War, Dark Planet, Rescue, Minefield, are all Stern games that Atari picked up a couple years ago. So calling this Atari Arcade 2 is kind of weird, because there's only one actual released Atari Arcade game on here, and it's under the wrong name. But there also is Atari Arcade 1. That's this one. And some of those games are on here as well. I mean, all those games are on here as well. And that is Asteroids Deluxe, Canyon Bomber, Centipede, Crystal Castles, Liberator, Lunar Lander, Millipede, Missile Command, Night Driver, Pong, Skydiver, Super Breakout, and Warlords. What's odd is a lot of those games use the paddle, and there is, if you can see, there's no paddle on the Alpha. In fact, this control mechanism for the Alpha really doesn't lend itself to most Atari Arcade games that had a very specific control mechanism. I'm loading up Asteroids Deluxe so we can see. Let's look at the controls and see if there's a way to set up the buttons. A, so you go A, B. A is thrust, B fire, Y hyperspace. Okay, let's try it and see if it works. Okay, I'd say that this the joystick here is an okay way to control Asteroids and Asteroids-like game. It's not bad. That was bad. Usually I can play better than this, which makes me wonder. I'm sure Berserk with this is going to be good. And again, I think this is originally, I want to say Stern. Look, I'm not going to be one to be too sticky about this, but I do not like that it says Atari Interactive on there. I don't care. The history should show who actually owned this to begin with. I know Atari owns it now. It's just this is, we're talking game preservation here, and I'd like it to be real. However, this joystick and this system does lend itself to playing this game pretty well. All right, let's try the next game. Canyon Bomber. I've got to see, what are the controls? Because honestly, this feels just like you're not doing anything. B, drop bomb. That's all you do. Okay. I guess it's for two players. You're supposed to drop your bombs better. It doesn't feel like you're doing much in this game. I wouldn't have chosen this game. Because while it's interesting from a historical perspective, it's really not much of a game. Centipede, let's try Centipede. Now, since I have the Arcade 1-Up Centipede machine, you know, this is going to be, the trackball is necessary. You see, this is moving it back and forth. You can't play Centipede without precise movement. And you see, even a slight move of this controller moves the man too far over, and it's not, you, it's just no, it, you can't do it. I refuse to even play it. Sorry, it's not gonna work. Let's go back. Crystal Castles. Okay, this is another game that used the trackball, which seems like a weird choice to me to be on here. All right, so far somewhat playable, I'd say. Okay, I think it's still easier to play with the trackball than this. This is also on the Arcade 1-Up Centipede Edition. Again, just honestly, kind of designed to play with the trackball. And this is probably not the game I would have put on here, just because of that. I am not sure there are many Atari, again, like I said before, I'm not sure there's a ton of Atari Arcade games that fit the suit to be on a collection like this. And I love the Arcade Alpha, but I just don't think Atari is that suited for it. That game's all right. Dark Planet, this is again, I think, I want to say Stern, but it's probably someone else. We'll find out who exactly owned all these. I'll put it up on the screen. This is a really interesting game. This seems to use the control really well. It's a neat, interesting game that I've never really played before and could probably use to play some more. You know, these guys, the bad guys seem to be drawing, making some sort of fort or something. Pretty cool. And the controls work pretty well. Again, I showed you Fire Truck, which is not Fire Truck. Here's Frenzy. This is like a super version of Berserk, and I have to tell you, I like it. You can also, I think, blow up these walls too. The walls blow up as well. This is very appropriate. You know what would have been better on here is like something like Wizard of War and Gorf. You know, games that really use the this joystick and button configuration. Most of the Namco games, you know, those are good. Frogger, I mean honestly, like in most Konami games, just not Atari. Most Atari games, not all of them, most Atari games had very unique controls. And they do not translate well, as far as I'm concerned, to this type of thing. But Frenzy does, because it's not an Atari game. Liberators, it's like Missile Command 2. This is gonna be a hard one to play. It's okay. Okay, I'll give you one. That's not bad. That's not bad. Lost Tomb. This is another one of the, I'm going to say Stern. Again, it probably says Atari Interactive at the beginning, which is just weird to me. I mean, these are neat games. I don't remember ever playing them in the arcade. Wow. Oh, you shooting? Wow, this is cool. Yeah, this is good, this control mechanism. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Tron. Oh, I couldn't fire in that direction, that was weird. Oh God, no. Okay, this is the problem. It uses four buttons to control. It's the four button shooting, like I got upset about on Llamatron. It's no. The worst control mechanism. Is there a way to start a game where you have regular shooting? There is not. Okay, so could be a good game, but my God, the controls suck. You can't look. You can't have directional firing and have the buttons be like this. They have to be directional buttons in a plus, or it's just too weird. It's not right. You can't, just don't put the game on if you're not going to fix the controls. Honestly, it's not worth it. Okay, Lunar Lander. Again, this is another track. Wait, is it a trackball game? No, I don't know if it's a trackball game, but it's okay, let's try this. I got pretty good at this on the arcade one up. Really just trying to fight with momentum and gravity in this game. Come on. Oh. One of the hardest games really to succeed at. Okay. Maze Invaders. This is the unreleased Atari one. Interesting game, and actually uses the proper joystick, which I maybe why they put it on here. Look, you're a guy running around a maze eating fruit, and I think you can fire because it's a cross between Pac-Man and Space Invaders, or you know, or Pac-Man and a cute game, because you know, I mean, that's where things were going back then. Okay, so you door out. You go the door out and you choose where you want to go. This is not bad, and I wish this was on, you know, any Atari collection that has a joystick like this. this is a good choice because you can actually control it correctly. I see these doors now open and close. There's one more piece of fruit down here. Oh no. Okay, I like this. It's decent and deserves to be on this collection. Millipede. Okay, I'm going to show you this, but this is the same problem as Centipede. You cannot play Millipede or Centipede that way. You just can't. I'm sorry. My feeling is Super Breakout's going to be the same. Okay, this is Minefield again from that other collection. So let's see what Minefield is like. Oh, looks neat. Parallax scrolling. And Tank down here. Guess I'm driving through a minefield. I guess you can pick these things up and you want to dodge the mines. I don't know if there's another way to shoot up. Let me look at the controls here really quick. Fire A, B, oh, it's another one though. It's another one with the four button controls and they're in the wrong place. A and B. A and B are fire down and right and X and Y up and left. It's just too confusing when you're in the midst of playing. It's a neat looking game and it's ruined by the fact that you can't control it. It's a command. My guess is this is okay. Oh, I'm going to see. Let's just make sure that we got three bases. Yeah, A, B, and X. So A, B. Oh, why X? Why A, B, X? Why not A, B, and R1? Why? That way you would have the buttons here. Not whatever this is. Okay, let's try it. But this is really frustrating to me. Yeah, and without the mouse, I mean, it's okay, I guess. I have my fingers up here now that I know what I'm doing. It's not impossible to do. It's just that these three buttons would work better. But it's, you know, this joystick is not precise enough. I mean, even the Atari 2600 joystick in these games for the 2600 versions work better than this. It's just not designed for it. All right, it's okay. I'll give it a half point. Moon War, what's this? All right, hopefully this doesn't have some funky, crappy control mechanism. I'm going to look really quick. Just A and B fire, X shields and hyperflip. Okay, I mean, at least they're not trying to fire directions. That's interesting. I like the scrolling background. Okay. I mean, worth a play. Just not an Atari game. Just happens to be a game that Atari bought and now owns. The history of these games would be really interesting. There's just like they sit out here with zero history about where they came from. Well, I say that, but I haven't looked at the instruction book. We'll do that after and we'll see. Is there any history at all about these games in them? Night Driver. Interesting. Night Driver. Okay. So R1 accelerates. This is a playable version of Knight Rider, I think. pretty. This is fun. This is from Atari Arcade Collection 1. That's pretty good. I'll give it that. They did a good job with that one. Pong? I mean, are there any versions? Is this a single? Because Atari made like a billion versions of Pong. You'd think that like they would like Pong doubles and... No, why couldn't they have Pong doubles and super Pong doubles and Quadra Pong and all that stuff? Why is it just Pong? I don't get it. Control's okay, though. I mean, it's not as precise as you'd want, but it's, you know, I mean, if you're trying to show people what the original Pong was like, it's not bad. It's not fun. I wouldn't play it this way. The best way to play Pong is with Video Olympics on the Atari 2600. But I mean, you know, it's decent for what it is, but it's not, I don't understand why they didn't put other versions on there. Rescue. All right. Again, not an Atari game, but we'll find out in a sec exactly what these things are. Again, 2024 Atari Interactive. Okay. I mean, looks neat though. This is, okay, it's the same. It looks like it's that same engine as the tank game, but now we're doing something else. Okay, I guess I wasn't supposed to crash into that guy. I like the parallax scrolling background that whatever they came up with. Okay, so there's the guy. He's in. He's just supposed to not hit the water. He's supposed to. I think you put your ladder down. Okay. Ugh! This game is freaking hard. I mean, now you see why. Look at the arcade. Like, who can play it? I guess it's a good quarter snatcher for as long as. Skydiver. This is probably works. Okay. I'll just make sure I know what the controls are. Jump. Open parachute A. Oh, so B is jump, open parachute A. Okay, that's just to use two buttons for some reason. It's okay, it works with the controls. It's not, you know, I mean, it's an ancient game, but. Super Breakout, all right, so Super Breakout. Again, let's see if you can control it. On the arcade one-up, this actually works because it has a spinner. But without a spinner, this is hard. Very frustrating. I mean, and what I don't like about this is that some of these Atari games are fun and historic, but this should not have been released for the Evercade Alpha, which otherwise is a great system. I mean, I know it's for the other Evercade as well, but like, it's not going to work on that either. It just gives the Atari games a bad name, when really what should be described is the fact that it had unique control mechanisms that really either you have to try to replicate them or not do it at all. This is an interesting game. It's a little bit like Frenzy. A little bit like Robotron, kind of Frenzy. So I see why they would put this on this collection. And then what happens is these walls close and you have to get out. It's kind of a neat game. Get out to the exit. Oh, it did it. This is a cool game. Probably the funnest surprise on here is this game. Again, it's called Tasmania. I didn't even give you the name. And here's Warlords. And again, Warlords is a great, fun four-player arcade game. How it translates here, I don't know. Not good, most likely. Because first of all, you're just going to play one player. You're down here. And my guess is it's the controls are not precise. And so, you know, without a spinner, again, it feels, which one am I? Honestly, it feels uncontrollable. Okay, so uncontrollable. So most of Atari Arcade 1 is unplayable. Atari Arcade 2 has one playable game that's Atari's, which is Maze Invaders, which is infinitely playable. It's about a half dozen other games that are playable, but they're not Atari's games. They're Atari games that Atari bought. But let's take a look. Like I said, does it describe in this instruction booklet anything about the history of these games? Let me see. Berserk. Well, it says Berserk was one of the first arcade games to actually talk to the player. That's something. Frenzy. Not really any history about Frenzy in there. Tasmania. Not much. Oddly enough, Atari Arcade 1 is really not that playable. Most of the games require specialized controls that are not here. Atari Arcade 2 has some playable games, but they're not really Atari's games, except for Maze Invaders, which was never released. Which leaves me to say that Atari Arcade 1 and 2 for the Evercade are weird, weird collections. If you're into the weirdness, by all means. But if I were you and I wanted to have some Atari goodness on the Evercade, especially the Alpha, I'd try to find the Lynx 1 and 2. They're way better. Infinitely playable, because the controls are designed specifically for what this is. And that's it.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So you saw, like, Arcade 1 is interesting because a lot of the games on it use a trackball.
Yeah, that's a problem for the Alpha.
And it really is not
too Alpha for does the not have a trackball.
So I want it to work. There's a couple games that are okay, but I really want this to work, and it doesn't work well at all. And I feel like Arcade 1 shouldn't really be sold with the Alpha. Now, Arcade 2 is fascinating.
Wait, pause it. It was sold with the Alpha, or
No. It's not sold with the Alpha.
Oh, okay,
it's
okay.
sold to work with the Alpha.
Yeah, I think to get that to work, what needs to happen is there needs to be a firmware update that allows you to control per game the sensitivity of the joystick.
Now maybe the sensitivity control is on there, and I'll take a look and make sure that there's no sensitivity control and that I've missed it. But as is, it's really difficult. Now, Arcade 2 is weird because Arcade 2 only has two Atari games on it.
Yeah.
Oh, the first strange one, like I showed you, is Fire Truck, which is really not Fire Truck at all, but Smokey Joe, which is the single player version.
Okay, but
Fire Truck.
So all their mistakes on naming aside, still fantastic game.
It's fun to see Fire Truck on there. Yeah, but it's really hard to control. It's always been hard to control. But my point is that, like, for something that's called Atari Arcade, yeah, 2,
it's Smokey Joe.
It has literally one game on it that actually Atari released. It's named Fire Truck, but it's actually Smokey
it's
Joe.
It's the wrong game. Yeah, exactly.
The second one is Maze Invaders, which was never released. It's kind of a fun little game where you go around a maze, you pick up dots, and you shoot things, and it's literally Maze Invaders. I think the name is a joke almost. And the rest are eight Stern games, which actually are kind of fun.
Well, the Stern games are really good. The problem is, it says Atari on them.
Yeah, so a couple of the screens come up and say Atari Frenzy, Atari, I think it even says Atari Berserk. But to me, that's a little, I know maybe they don't want to say Stern, but
it might be a licensing
for problem. For preservation in history,
those aren't Atari games.
They really shouldn't say Atari on them. They should either say nothing at all, right? Or they should say Stern. They should got permission to say Stern, because to me, it's great to preserve them. It's great to play them. It's fantastic that they're on here, but it's giving the wrong information. That is not an Atari game.
It's like almost like a crack tro.
It's almost like a crack.
Sorry, crack throw.
It kind of is. I mean, I love the. It's a fantastic game for the Alpha. I mean, all those table games. This Atari Arcade 2 actually is a good game for the Alpha. It's good Alpha. You know, the Apple compatible,
great for that with the controls and everything. A lot of the Stern games, you know, are joystick games. And any game that actually uses a joystick in the arcade is perfect for the Alpha because the controls are great. Right. We got a joystick. At least as far as I can tell. There's probably people out there that are saying, oh, no, it's the control is wrong for this and that. That's fine. But so far, like I played some other like late like 90s arcade games and stuff, and it worked really great. But as far as I can tell, it's great to say that from a preservation standpoint, though, like from a historical standpoint, putting Atari on those to me is wrong. They shouldn't do that. Yeah. And I get why they did it because they licensed it from them, or maybe Atari edited those ROMs and did it. But I would say that that's a bad thing for, you know, in 10 years time, let's say there's kids who are growing up now who are just born now and they're into the history of video games, and there's an Evergate Alpha there with all these weird everyday cards, and you put it in and they'd have no clue that Atari didn't actually make those games.
Right.
And to me, that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's wrong. That's historically wrong. You wouldn't do that with the movie. You know, you wouldn't all of a sudden have, you know...
Nintendo wouldn't suddenly put, Sonic. Nintendo's well, Sonic.
Okay, wait, I take the back, but does Disney put their name on the front of... Yeah, I guess 20th Century Fox is not on the name of Star Wars anymore, which is really, to me, kind of... Like Fox being on the front of Star Wars is really important because of Alan Ladd Jr. and how he actually got Star Wars made. Like that's part of the history, and Disney owns Fox. I hope it's still there, because if it's not, to me that's another problem. We shouldn't be rebranding these things to erase the history of them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. So that was done back in January, and I've sat on this information for a few months. I let the idea that the Stern name was removed and replaced with Atari in these games percolate for a while, and I have to say, it still really bothers me. It bothers me that there is no mention of the Stern name or any of the Stern team in the instruction manual that comes with Atari Arcade 2. I think it's a terrible move for preservation, and I also think that Evercade, and especially Atari, who owns Moby Games, which is an intensely anal-retentive website dedicated to giving credit for games, should have known better. There is a note in the front of the manual stating that Atari acquired these games in 2023, and then it tries to explain away the obvious historical Atari washing by stating something about how the Atari 2600 had a great port of Berserk, which is true. But, well, okay, the Atari 2600 also had a great port of Stargate. You'd be damn sure that no one would sit by and allow Atari to remove the Williams name from Stargate or forget to credit the great Eugene Jarvis and Larry DeMar. So to me, they should not get a pass on Stern either, just because the games and the people who worked on them are not as well known. And because of that, I did some research to find the credits for the Stern games included on Atari Arcade 2. It's funny because it only took me about 2 hours of searching. Also, some of the credits are actually displayed in-game on the attract screens. So here's what I found as accurate as I know it right now. Played over some gameplay video with a tune from Tony Longworth, appropriately named Connecting the Dots. Berserk, copyright 1980. Designed and developed by Alan McNeil. Frenzy, copyright 1982. Also designed and developed by Alan McNeil. By the way, according to Atari's own Moby Games, Alan McNeil was also responsible for the 1970s arcade classic Boot Hill from Midway. Next up, Rescue, copyright 1982, designed and developed by Chris Oberth. Minefield, copyright 1983, also designed and developed by Chris Oberth. Tasmania, copyright 1982, still also designed by Chris Oberth. By the way, according to Atari's own Moby Games, Chris Oberth is responsible for a ton of other games, including Armored Car, another Stern classic that was not included on Atari Arcade 2 from Evercade. Next up, Lost Tomb, copyright 1983, designed and programmed by Dan Lee. And also, Dark Planet, copyright 1982, created by Eric Erickson and Dan Langlois. And finally, Moon War, which unfortunately I could not find any credits for, but hopefully one day we will. By the way, one more note, you can edit the controls of arcade games on Evercade, and especially in Atari Arcade 1 and 2. I did get the three buttons in a row to work for Missile Command, so that is a good feature to have. However, I still cannot find a way to adjust the sensitivity of the controls for games that use the trackball or the spinner, and those games remain mostly unplayable on the Evercade Alpha.
We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.